I ask you to take your Bibles today and turn to Psalm 142. Psalm 142. The times that we're living in right now with this pandemic are some of the most difficult and emotional times we have ever seen in our lifetime. That's because there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't like uncertainty, do we? We like our comfortable ruts, or routines, as we call them. And this pandemic has yanked us out of our ruts and has flung us out into this virtual twilight zone of uncertainty. We don't know really a lot about what's going on. Most all of us have seen the news reports of people responding to this crisis by stockpiling various resources like toilet paper, hand sanitizer, and certain other things. And they do that because of all the uncertainty. Some stockpile certain things to feel more in control in a seemingly out of control situation, while others stockpile to pray and to profit off of the fear and the uncertainty of others. And by the way, that's just plain wrong. Many of us may have our own private stash of things we consider essential for a time such as this. And I'm not faulting that at all, as long as we're not trusting in our resources and trusting in that stash that we have. We've seen the stock market tank over the last couple of weeks because of all the uncertainty, because many people are responding to all the uncertainty with fear. We've seen and are seeing decisions made and or changed on a daily basis by the leaders at all the various levels of our government, federal, state, and local. And it is all because of the uncertainty of what we are dealing with. Even they are uncertain of exactly what is going to happen. All their decrees can be mind-numbing at times because some of them seem to be changing hourly, and there really doesn't seem to be much of a consensus of how to deal with this pandemic. Many decisions are being made with uncertainty of what the outcome of those decisions will ultimately be. You know, I find it interesting that things that rightfully could be called the idols of our day are some of the first things to be affected. Some of the very first things that were shut down were the sports venues, the entertainment venues, the leisure venues, and more, even more than this, have been shut down. And people cannot immerse themselves in their idolatry, so to speak. As I talk of all these things, you may feel certain emotions welling up in you again, and that's not my purpose here. But I want you to see is that these times of uncertainty, where we feel out of control, can compound and magnify all the various emotions that we are experiencing. And the book of Psalms can be a tremendous help to us when we're dealing with practically any and every kind of human emotion. The Lord bears the very soul of the various psalmists before us. David was not the writer of all the psalms, but he is the writer of the one that we're going to be looking at today. And he especially, the Lord shows us deep within David's soul. And so if you're dealing with emotional issues through this crisis or really any crisis, you'll probably find something in the Psalms that you can identify with and find help from. It's an extremely honest book, revealing the inner thoughts, struggles, and needs of godly men such as David. Let's read Psalm 142, shall we, and see one of these times in David's life. Psalm 142, and I want to begin with the heading there, because I'm going to refer to the heading in my message, Masculine of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. A prayer when he was in the cave. We can see David's isolation here. Notice what he said. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. And the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. As I said, the first thing we can see here from the heading is we can see David's isolation. David at this time in his life was in a physical cave hiding from King Saul, who was seeking him in order to kill him. David had fled from the hand of Saul, and he was holed up in this cave in much the same way as we are doing our best to flee this virus and stay holed up in our caves. We have been asked by our leaders to practice what they are calling social distancing. I know about you, but I'm not really good at that because I love the fellowship with God's people. David wasn't very good at it either for the same reason. Basically, we've been told that we must stay at home in our caves to isolate ourselves from this enemy called the coronavirus. So how did the emotions of trying to escape the hand of Saul and in this resulting isolation, how did it affect David? I think as we look at how it affected him, we can see how it might affect us in our isolation. We can see David's isolation. Secondly, we can sense David's desperation there in verse 1 and 2. When desperation set into David's soul, we see that he poured out his desperation to the Lord in prayer. Notice what it says there in verse 1. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. The word cried there in verse 1 means to shriek from anguish or danger. This was a cry from deep within that met up with his voice. Have you ever been so desperate that you wanted to just scream or yell? Listen, you're in good company. David not only wanted to scream or yell, he did. Twice in verse 1 he says that he used his voice. Now, this was more than just a cry from his heart and soul. We can almost feel David's desperation in his soul as his desperation worked its way from deep within his soul and out into his very voice. We see David made his supplication to the Lord. That word supplication means to implore, to beseech. In other words, to move to favor by petition or by asking. In other words, we see him literally begging the Lord for help here. This world would have us to seek the help of worldly psychologists and psychiatrists and pharmaceuticals and other worldly ways to deal with our crises. They want us to go spill our feelings and emotions on the couch of those who are nothing more than just mere men themselves. Every time a crisis pops up, worldly counseling is brought up as a solution to help us cope or deal with the crisis. Now, that may be the world's way of dealing with crises, but listen, we who are believers are not of this world anymore. As believers, we need to do like David does here and cry out to the Lord for help first. The Lord should be our first resort, not our last. David made his supplication to the Lord. Second, we see David was honest in his supplication to the Lord there in verse 2. He said, I poured out my complaint before Him. He bared His soul here. He poured out my complaint. I showed before Him my trouble. Listen, if we're going to pour ourselves out to the Lord, we might as well be honest about it. I mean, the Lord already knows the truth about our emotions, doesn't He? Hebrews 4:13 says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." And listen, we have one that not only knows what we're going through, but He cares for us in the midst of it all. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16 talks about the Lord Jesus Christ as He came in flesh and what He is to us today. He's our high priest, our great high priest. This is in Hebrews 4, verse 15. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but it was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." David was overwhelmed by the darkness in his spirit. Look at verse 3. He said, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." Don't you find that what we're experiencing right now is more than a little bit overwhelming at times? That word "overwhelmed" there means to be shrouded or clothed in darkness. We might say blanketed. Now understand that David was in a literal cave where the light was limited. He was physically shrouded in darkness. But the greater darkness was in his spirit. He was overwhelmed inside from all that he was going through in his life at this particular time. The fact that this man of God, David, who had been chosen to be the future king of Israel, was overwhelmed reminds us of his humanness. He had promises from God regarding some future things that hadn't happened yet. Were they going to happen? Well, sure they were. God doesn't lie. So in the midst of this, he should have known that even as hopeless as his situation seemed, his hope was sure in the Lord, that he was going to come out of this okay in the end. And this should remind us that anyone can be subject to periods of darkness, despair, discouragement, or depression. This is possibly one of those times that we can identify with David. Many are overwhelmed with our present circumstances and are even tempted to despair. So how do we escape the darkness which permeates our soul in times like these? Well, let me share with you an illustration that I found. It had long been noticed in European countries that people develop depression during the long dark days of winter. Back in the early 1980s, a handful of experts at the National Institute of Mental Health had an idea. If people get depressed when the days get darker, why not just give them more light? They tested their theory on a 63-year-old research engineer who fell into a deep depression every autumn. They asked him to sit in front of a large box fitted with fluorescent tubes for 3 hours before dawn and 3 hours after sunset every day. Well, it worked. 3 days later, this research engineer was smiling again, and the 15 years since then, further studies have shown the effectiveness of light therapy for patients with winter depression, known medically as seasonal affective disorder, or SAD. So, what is the spiritual application that we see with this? How can we overcome being overwhelmed with spiritual darkness in our soul and spirit because of our circumstances? Well, we need to draw closer to the one who is our light. Jesus Christ is our light. When the darkness of this world looms, we need to spend more time in the light. David was overwhelmed in his spirit. We see also David was overwhelmed about his steps. In verse 3, the second part there of that verse, he says, "In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me." David had been nothing but loyal to Saul. He had done nothing to deserve the jealous rage that Saul felt for him. David felt as though his steps were in danger because Saul was seeking to kill him. And that was overwhelming his thoughts. But listen, the Lord knew David's path. The Lord knew David was righteous in his walk. Look there at verse 3 again. "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path." The Lord knew his path. The Lord knew David was righteous in his walk. The Lord knew the snare that was laid by the enemy. The Lord knew everything about David's path. David was overwhelmed in the spirit. David was overwhelmed about his steps. But we see David felt as though his soul was deserted. Verse number 4. He said, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." In all of the Bible, there are a few words that are sadder than these. Someone once said that loneliness and the feeling of being uncared for and unwanted are some of the greatest poverty that one can have. There's not a more empty feeling in the human heart than to be lonely and feel that no one cares. Most of us have gone through times in our life of loneliness. We probably all had times when we wondered if anyone cared what we were going through. Perhaps we need to be reminded that even if we are alone, we are not alone. And even when we don't feel as though we are loved, we are very much loved and cared for by our Lord. Listen to the words of Peter in 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. He says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Listen, in such a time as this that we are going through in this pandemic, perhaps we need to tell or show someone else that we care. That we care because God indeed cares. He cared for us, and He's shown His care both in what Christ has done for us there on the cross of Calvary and what Christ is doing in us and through us in our lives. We can see David's isolation. We can sense David's desperation. Thirdly, there in verse number 5, I want you to see we can share David's declaration. Verse 5, he says, "I cried unto Thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." David was feeling the isolation because of his present circumstances of being in a cave and with no one else around. David was feeling the desperation because of his predicament with Saul that led him to this isolation. But then he looks beyond his feelings to the one to whom he was pouring his heart out to. And he makes this declaration. He says, "Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." So he declares that the Lord is his refuge. David is in a cave trying to conceal himself from Saul. Yet ultimately, David comes back to this realization of what he knows, that ultimately his refuge is the Lord. It's not the cave. His refuge is the Lord. He declares that the Lord is his portion in the land of the living. That word portion means allotment or inheritance. Get this now. In spite of his circumstances, he came to the fresh realization of what he knew but had temporarily forgotten in his plight. First of all, that the Lord had already made him king. He was already anointed king of Israel. It was going to happen. The Lord would bring to fruition the promises that he had made to David. All the promises that had been given to him in the Davidic covenant. Absolutely nothing could alter the promises of the Lord. Nothing in his present situation and nothing in his future situation. See, just like David, sometimes we are prone to forget the Lord in our plight. We forget what we have in the Lord. Regardless of our past circumstances, where we are, and even how we feel, listen, the Lord is still with us. There's nothing in this present situation we find ourselves in and nothing in our future situation that's going to remove the promises that the Lord has given us. I love the verses of Romans chapter number 8, verse 31 and 32 that says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Romans 8, verse 35-39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." No matter how dire the circumstances may be, listen, the things that we have in the Lord are sure. And our expectation should be of the Lord. We can share in David's declaration, "The Lord is our refuge." He says, "Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living." Then in verse 6 and 7, we see a fourth thing here, and that is that David cries out for deliverance again, but this time he's crying out by faith. Verse 6, he says, "Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." And, you know, it's a good thing to remember. You know, we get into situations where we just don't have the power. In fact, many times, it's not within us to overcome the things that we experience in this life, but yet we have the Lord that we can cry out to. The first time that David cried out was out of desperation, but this time was by faith. James 4 reminds us in verse 6 through 10, "He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." And I believe David was humbling himself before the Lord here. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." The Lord wants us to humble ourselves. Amen. So that He can lift us up. And David is humbling himself here. He looks up to the Lord and attended to my cry, "For I'm brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I." Well, look, we see David's cause for deliverance was the was God's glory, was the Lord's glory. There in verse 7, he says, "Bring my soul out of prison." He looked at the cave and the situation that he was in. It's kind of like being in a prison. And don't we kind of feel that way with this that we've been told to do, like isolate ourselves, to have this social distancing? He said, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name." He had been imprisoned by his fears, not by the Lord. But the Lord delivered him from his fears and would exalt him just as he had promised him, and the result would be praise for the Lord. Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. Can't you just see David when the Lord brought him through this? Let me tell you what the Lord did for me when I was in the cave. We see that David shows his confidence in the Lord in the end here. He says there, in verse 7, the middle part of the verse, he says, "The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Now, he believes that God will deliver him and that he will be able to worship again surrounded by the righteous people of God. He said, "The righteous shall compass me about." He looks forward to that time. He believes also that the Lord will bring to fruition all that he has promised him. Do you believe that in your life? All that the Lord has promised us as believers. Do you believe he's going to fulfill that? He most certainly will. David said, "For thou shalt deal bountifully with me." That kind of brings to mind Ephesians 3, verse 20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." His Holy Spirit that works in us. Amen. The power, very power of God. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. But it's him doing it. So, let me ask in closing, where are you in all of this that is going on in our nation and around the world? In your isolation that we've been driven to in this pandemic, are you finding yourself in desperation in your soul? Listen, there's absolutely no need to feel that way, because the Lord is going to accomplish in us all that he has promised us in his word. Now listen, there's no need to be desperate unless you don't know the Lord. I hope that you know the Lord. I understand the Lord is going to accomplish in the unbeliever the things that he's detailed in his word also, and that's not a pretty thing. Because those that do not believe on the Lord, and when they leave this life, they're going to stand before him one day at the great white throne judgment. And everyone, every unbeliever will be cast into the lake of fire. So, if you don't know the Lord, come to know him today. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you can have him. Come to know him so that you can have the one who will deliver you in the end. And if you do know the Lord, and you're feeling the stress of this crisis, cry out to the Lord. Be honest. Just pour out your heart to him. I mean, he knows what's on your heart anyway, but pour out to him. Then realize once again that the Lord is our refuge. He's the one we can hide in. And realize once again that the Lord is our portion. He is our inheritance in the land of the living. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and absolutely nothing can take that away from us. By faith, ask the Lord for and trust the Lord for deliverance in and through these difficult circumstances, so that you can praise his name as he brings you out of your desperation and into deliverance. In these uncertain days, have your confidence in the Lord, not in the government or your finances or your family or anything else. Don't have your confidence anywhere but in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being our refuge, for being our inheritance, those of us that have believed on you. Thank you that when we feel all alone, when we feel like we're trying to outrun an enemy and we feel inadequate to the task and we're not stronger than that is trying to pursue us, Lord, we can look to you. And Lord, we can trust you in and through everything that we're facing. Lord, I don't know the need of the heart today of those that are listening. Lord, I know that you do. If the need is for salvation, Lord, help the one to know that they are sinners in need of a Savior. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord, and we thank you for that. Help them to see that the one who is broken and shed His precious blood there on the cross of Calvary, is the only Savior of the world. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through Him. Help them receive Him today as their Lord and Savior, that they might have an inheritance, that they might have You as their refuge and You as their inheritance here in the land of the living. We pray now that You would work in the hearts of believers. And Lord, give them the strength that they need in these days. We don't know how long this is going to last, Lord, but we know that that You will bring us through this on the other side. Even if it's, Lord, our time to go. We know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have nothing to fear. When we have You as our hope, and You are our hope, our refuge. And Lord, help us to keep focused upon You, that we might, Lord, not have our hearts full of desperation while we're in this isolation. Help us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.